I have to say, it's been quite a while since we last had a share together, and I'd actually kind of forgotten how to use the Zoom and everything. We managed to sort that out. And to start the new series, what I wanted to speak about this evening is the topic of electricity on Shabbat. Now, in a certain sense, it's a very contemporary issue, and in another sense, it actually goes back 150 years or something of that nature. And it's not such a new issue, meaning that electricity first became common 150 years ago. It was discussed by the Poskim of that generation at the end of the 19th century. They came to various conclusions. And one would have thought that's where we are. But as we all well know, that that's actually not the case, because there's constantly changing technology and innovations and the like. And the way things are today in this regard are very different, perhaps, to the way it was, even just one generation ago. And one of the things we'll touch on towards the end of the year is some of the most contemporary issues to do with smart homes and the like. It's already been for a number of years now that there have been the issues of lights going on as we walk down the road. But we're sort of moving into an era now where you go into your house, and as you walk through the door, it'll turn lights on, turn lights off. Perhaps the heating will adjust, etc., etc. You open your fridge, it realizes that you need to get more grape juice for next Shabbat, and an alert will come on and tell you only drink Rav Kos for Kiddush, otherwise you won't have enough grape juice left for Havdalah, something like that. What's the halachic story behind all these sorts of situations? And certainly, I would say that in a certain sense, Shabbat observance is becoming a little bit more complex than it was not so many years ago. And not so many years ago, you simply put things on a timer, they came on, they came off, and that was about it. But now it's much more sensitive, and the question is how to properly deal with and respond to all these issues. So I want to start with a Rambam, in actual fact. A Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchot Shabbat. Thank you to Jonathan Levy for sharing the Makorot with us. And the Rambam says, "Hamavir kol shehu chayav." If you burn anything on Shabbat, then you're chayav. You've broken Shabbat. And he goes on to say, I've underlined it at the end of the halacha. If a person lights a lamp or wood to warm themselves by the heat, bein lahair, or whether it's to provide illumination, hare ze chayav, then they've transgressed the prohibition of Lo tavaru esh, not burning fire on Shabbat. Hamachamim et ha-barzel kedei letzarfo b'mayim. And also, if a person heats iron very, very hot, and then they're going to temper it in water afterwards, but for really what for whatever purpose it might be, harizeh toldat mavir v'chayav. It's a toladah. It's a derivative or a function of mavir, of burning, and one is chayav. Now, 150 years ago, this is really the question that was confronting people, and it's a very similar question to the question that's confronting people today. Meaning that when electricity was first common, people thought, why can there be anything wrong with using electricity on Shabbat? When electricity was first used, in certainly domestically, it was used for lighting. People didn't, television hadn't been invented, hadn't been thought of then. Electrical appliances didn't yet exist. The first electrics that came into the home was electric lights. And people couldn't see how this was prohibited, how this was a problem on Shabbat. You're not doing any malacha. And this is indeed, the type of thing that, many people will say even nowadays. Certainly people who are new to or unfamiliar with Jewish observance, and they find out that you can't turn on a light on Shabbat, they'll say, why not? That's not work. Just turning on a switch is not work. And there was very much a sense that, in actual fact, turning on a light is not a problem of using electricity. And so we've got as a starting point from the Rambam the notion that if you heat up iron for a particular purpose, then it's going to be a toladah of mavir, it's going to be a derivative of burning something on Shabbat. So if you think about it, with certainly an old-fashioned filament light bulb, if a person turned it on Shabbat or any time for that matter, how did it work? It worked by the filament being heated, an electrical current passing through it, and it being heated, becoming white hot, and giving out a light. And therefore, the Poskim of that generation said, quite simply, it's a problem of mavir. If we look, for example, at the Shelos and Tshuvos of the Achiezer was Reb Chaim Moshe Grudzinski, the Rav in Vilna in the in the first part of the 20th century. He died in 1940. So in his Tshuva in Achiezer, he addresses this question, and he says, Hamurami kol ha'amur, the conclusion from everything we said is the chibur ha'chutin shel elektri, that once you cause a current to pass through something electric, lahavir biyadayim, you're essentially actively making something burn, the havei melechet havara mamash. This is absolutely the malacha of havara, of burning something. Generally speaking, when we talk about burning something, we think about something being combustible and it going up in flames and disappearing. I burn a piece of wood. I've got the piece of wood in front of me, and after a period of time, the wood has disappeared. It's not there any longer. So it's not, we wouldn't intuitively say that heating up metal till it's white hot is burning, were it not for what the Rambam tells us. But the Rambam tells us that that indeed it is burning. And as I say, the Gedolim at the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, really were fighting a battle for Shabbat in the face of electricity. So many people just couldn't see that this was a form of malacha. They say that both Reb Chaim Ozer Grudzinski and also Reb Chaim Brisker and others as well, they used to use electric lights on Motzei Shabbat for Havdalah. Instead of having a Havdalah candle, they would turn the lights on. That's, in our day and age where it's exciting to use a candle, many of us will remember as little kids, we all wanted to hold the candle for Havdalah. I suppose in Reb Chaim Brisker's household, it was they all wanted to turn on the switch for Havdalah. But in any event, they made a point of saying the bracha of Borei Moreh Ha'esh over an electric light to show that this is real esh. It's not just, oh, we're being a bit strict about things. They wanted to show we really think that this is esh. And if you use it on Shabbat, you will be chayav for lighting a fire. So that was the view of Rab Chaim Ozer Grudzinski and others as well. There is here we have a tshuva from the Melamed Lahoel. The Melamed Lahoel is Rav David Zvi Hoffman, one of the last of the German poskim before the Shoah. He was the rector of the rabbinical seminary in Berlin, and he addresses this question. He is asked in Yesh Chilul Shabbat Behadlakat Ner Shekorin Elektrische Galia lamp, an electric lamp with a chibuyav and turning it on and off or not. So he has an interesting Svara. He agrees with Rav Chaim Moses Grudzinski that it's an issue of Mavir, and he says, but you know, yeah, we usually think that with Mavir something is destroyed as a result of it. So he's got an understanding of electricity which would seem to be not quite scientifically correct. He actually says, I've underlined it, to havara b'chol shehu, that when you burn something, even if only a tiny bit is burnt, you still transgress the prohibition. So it's impossible, he says, that you've got your filament. And again, I suppose what he was dealing with was people objecting to his position by saying, no, look at the light. Nothing is disappearing. Nothing's really being burnt. For something to burn, there needs to be oxygen available for it to burn. So he says, you can't have something which is a complete vacuum. There must be a little bit of air still inside the bulb. Something is getting burned. So it's kind of interesting. His understanding of electricity isn't quite, as I say, scientifically correct. But nevertheless, he agrees that it's going to be an issue of mafia. Now, that's all well and good, or perhaps one would say all well and bad, depending how one is looking at this, when the only issue was filament bulbs, and you've definitely got Aish there. Nowadays, there's a big question. Lots of electric appliances don't use Aish. They don't get hot. Nevertheless, they're using electricity. The classic example is, you know, we talk about it a lot now, but LED lights. LED lights, nothing there is getting hot. It works in a very very different way. Physical reaction going on inside the bulb, as it were. What's the situation going to be there? Now, this is something which wasn't foreseen by the Poskim 100, 120, 130 years ago. But nevertheless, their discussions of electricity, and already at that time other electrical appliances were being developed, did lead them to establish certain principles for us, which are still going to apply nowadays. For example, the Tshuvot of the Beit Yitzchak. Beit Yitzchak was Reb Yitzchak Shmelkus, who lived in Galicia in the, again, the end of, really, in the 19th century. He died in 1905. But he addresses this question. He was the first of the major poskim to discuss the question of electric Shabbat lights and electric Hanukkah lights, etc. He discusses the whole question of whether there's or, whether there's Aish, etc., etc. But beyond that, he says, when you close an electric current, nolad koach elektri v'zeh asur b'shabbat. You've got a problem of what we call nolad. Nolad literally means something being born, but really it's a form of creating something, or if you like, a form of impregnating something. We talk, classic example we talk about of molid is molid recha. Example is given, if you take a perfume and put it on a beged, on an item of clothing, then you've impregnated the beged with a smell. Okay? That's something which is prohibited on Shabbat. So here also we've got a notion of you've put an electric current into these wires. And that's a problem of molid. Before you put the electric current into the wires, they were just dead wires. They were just wires there. You could touch them. Nothing would happen to you. It's just a piece of metal. Once you make them live wires, so then it's something different. It's a live wire. You've been molded a life, as it were, an electrical life, into these wires. And that was something that that Rav Yitzchak Shmelkus was concerned about. A similar notion was advanced by the Chazon Ish. And this is a very famous opinion of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish one of the foremost halakhic authorities in Eretz Yisrael in the first half of the 20th century. He emigrated to Eretz Yisrael, I think, in the 1920s, died in the 1950s, but a very prominent halakhist. And in his Chazanish on Orach Chaim in Simun Nun, he says as follows. Is on the top of the second page. Od yesh bazeh mishum tikkun mana. He's using a concept which is known as tikkun mana. Tikkun mana, letaken, means to fix something, and a mana is a vessel or an item. He's saying that using electricity is tikkun mana, is fixing something. In what sense? Kevan sheh ma'amidu al tchunato lizrom et zerem hachashmal bitmidut. Seeing as you're doing something that's allowing the current to flow continuously through it, the karov hadavar dezer bonem in haTorah kishel kaoseh kli. He says it also might very likely to be an issue of bonem, of constructing something. So he's telling us there are two possibilities why electricity could be prohibited on Shabbat, even if we're not talking about something which generates heat. He says number one, we've got metakein mana, meaning that previously I had a keli that wasn't usable as it was, and now it is usable. I've got, you know, no current was going through it. No, it wasn't doing anything. It was just wires. And if it's attached to an appliance, fine, it's an appliance. It's, a fan or something like that, okay, or a clock or whatever it might be. But it's not functioning. When I'm metakein mana, when I fix it, so then, or when I make it, allow it to function, then I'm fixing it in some way. That's the first thing he says. And then he says something even more radical. Metakein mana is a rabbinic concept. He says that in actual fact, it might be even a biblical concept. One of the avot melachot, one of the 39 prohibited actions on Shabbat, is boner, is building something. Now, we usually think of boner as I go outside and I build a garden shed or whatever it might be. But really, says building a kli, constructing a kli, is making something into something which is usable. If I take, I take this this glass, right, and I put some wheels onto it, and make it into something which is now a glass that moves along on wheels or something like that, then it'll be bono. If I take two halves of a glass by themselves, they're no use. I fix them together, then I've created a kli. I've made something usable. If I've got an electric appliance which isn't turned on, it's not usable. It's not doing its job. When I turn it on, that's boner. I'm making it into a usable kli. He says, especially in this case where you've got an electric appliance is plugged into the house, then maybe in some way it's not just a utensil or an item that you're talking about, but maybe you're actually building the, extending the house in some way. So what we've got so far is a number of reasons, perhaps, why we've got electricity would be prohibited. In some cases, it's going to be because of mavir, of burning. In some instances, it's going to be because of because of molid. You're impregnating an electrical current into a device. According to the Chazon Ish, it might be metakein mana or boner. Rav Uziel, who was the first Sfardi chief rabbi of Medinat Yisrael, he says there could be other considerations as well. He says that he agrees that it's you're turning it into a kli and it's metakein mana. So he says exactly like the Chazon Ish. And Rav David Zvi Hoffman, again in Melamed Lahoel, he says Can EF Shash Eloyot's unit sot sot? With electrical appliances, it's impossible that you're not creating some sparks. And creating sparks is also going to be, it's going to be a psic ratio, an inevitable result of what you're doing. And that's going to be prohibited again under the rubrics of burning. This is a little bit of a debatable point. First of all, sparks perhaps are incidental and so temporary that they don't have any status as anything significant. That's consideration number one. Consideration number two, in a contemporary context, you know, our electrical appliances don't spark. If they do, take it back to the shop and get your money back. because it shouldn't be sparking. But anyway, that's a further reason why the Poskim wanted to say that these appliances are prohibited on Shabbat. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the great posek of the second or latter part of the 20th century, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the author of the Minchat Shlomo and other Sfarim, lived in Yerushalayim, a very prominent, as I say, halachist, died in 1995. He was something of an expert on electricity. In actual fact, he wrote an entire sefer on the subject called Mo'orei Eish. And this was published really in fairly early days of electricity. It was published in 1935, so before we had the plethora of electrical equipment that we have nowadays. But he addressed it very, very thoroughly. I just want to quote a little bit from his responsa, Minchat Shlomo, Chelek Aleph Siman Tet, where he sums up, I'm just, you know, really, just one or two lines from Rav Shlomo Zalman, which is, you know, where he's written a whole long sefer on the subject. It's unfair to condense it into just a couple of lines. But he says, "Nit ba'er lefi zeh d'laniut dati nired v'chai gavna d'lo asah klal shum hadlaka o chibui." If nothing is, if there's no combustion going on, kim chaber rakash telefonim hazerem. He's talking about using a telephone on Shabbat. So all you're doing is connecting it to the current. Ein la sor b'Shabbat v'yom tov, lo mishum makeh b'patish, lo mishum molid. He says, I can't see why it should be prohibited on Shabbat. He's dismissed all the, you know, there's no issue of eish in any sense because it's, there's no combustion here. And he's saying even the other considerations of the Chazon Ish and Rebbe Yitzchak Shmalkus are not relevant here, he doesn't think. He thinks there's no real prohibition of using electricity on Shabbat. But he goes on to say, because most people really don't know how to distinguish in these things. They'll think that you can turn on the electric lights on Shabbat. Therefore, you can't even allow Talmidei Chachamim to do these things. Unless it's a real emergency. So the point that he's making here is that seeing as that it's not something which is strictly speaking prohibited, we can allow it b'shat hadchak. Shat hadchak doesn't mean to say that you know, you left something turned on or you didn't turn something on, whatever Shabbat, so you want to turn it on. But you know, in a case of a choleh or something of that nature, there would be room to be lenient. But essentially, Rav Shlomo Zalman is making a very important point. Making the point that even if there's not technically speaking an absolute issa in using electricity on Shabbat, there's, as it were, a gezeira against using it because it's hard for the common person in the street to distinguish between one type of electric appliance and another. And one might come to use something which would break Shabbat on a biblical level. A very similar point is advanced by Rav Osher Weiss. Contemporary posek, well known perhaps to many people. Rav Osher Weiss addresses this in a number of places in his Teshuvot, particularly in Chelek Aleph Simon Lamed, which is not what we've got in front of us. We've got from Chelek Gimel. In Chelek Aleph Simon Lamed, he tries to establish what the prohibition is of using electricity on Shabbat. And so he hums and haws a bit, and he thinks it might well be Makeb Patish in its classical sense, in terms of Makeb Patish is where you give the final blow to something to make it usable. If I've got an electric appliance which isn't turned on, then it's not usable. When I turn it on, I'm making it usable. But he also advances a very novel shita. He says that the Yerushalmi says there are 39 Avot Melachot, and every one of the 39 Avot Melachot has 39 Toladot, 39 derivatives. And even the last of the Avot Melachot, which is Makeb Patish, which is sort of all a bit all-encompassing, has 39 derivatives. And basically that any Melacha that Chazal weren't quite sure what category it fell under, it falls under Makeb Patish. That's a principle we have from the Yerushalmi. So he says with electricity, it's something which is just so obvious that it's prohibited. Even if you can't put your finger on it to say it's prohibited because of this or that or the other, nevertheless, it's an issue of Makeb Patish, of giving that final hammer blow to something. And therefore, he wants to say, in actual fact, using electricity on Shabbat is a d'oraita, is prohibited biblically, even if one's not generating any heat with it. So that's the first observation he makes. That's in Chelek Aleph, Simon Lamed. In Chelek Gimel, Simon Kafei, he goes a little bit further. This is a tshuva discussing the kosher switch. Some people might recall about 5 years ago, I guess, there was whole excitement in certain parts of the Jewish world. There was something called a kosher switch, a way using grammar that you could turn on and off lights on Shabbat. Or some people suggested that you could do so. It's very interesting. The original round of publicity claimed that they had backing from many, many important rabbonim. I remember looking on their website. Most of the rabbonim I'd never heard of. I'm not saying they weren't important rabbonim, but they weren't well known, which is important in the halachic world. And those names that I did know, when I actually read what they'd written, they hadn't said that the kosher switch per se was mutter at all. They'd addressed certain issues and expressed certain views about certain issues, but they certainly hadn't said that the kosher switch was kosher. But this relates to an issue which is very pertinent today, and I'll discuss it, some of the halakhic issues a little bit more in a couple of moments' time. But that's the issue of smart homes and the like, and things which really there's no action almost in terms of doing these things. You just walk past a sensor or something like that, and it'll come on or come off, etc., etc. All these sorts of things, where it becomes very easy to be using electricity in almost a passive manner. The question is, what's the problem with that? In the second paragraph, I just want to read the second paragraph from Rav Osher Weiss. He's referring specifically to the kosher switch, but it applies to other things as well. He says, Jewish life is based on two foundations. In actual fact, there's more to Jewish observance than just halacha. Ela halacha psukava trufa mechad. On the one hand, you do have strict halachic considerations, and at the same time, you have hamasoret v'haminhag meidach. You have Jewish tradition going hand in hand with it. He says in the century since every house has had electricity on tap, as it were, or at the flick of a switch. Nishma'al kol ha'monah shel Torah. The sound of Torah has been heard, a loud roar, kol hamon kakol shakai, shekedushat ha-shabbat doreshet b'mafkia himan'ut b'chol tzura v'derech shel segirat ma'agal chashmali b'shabbat. That the kedusha, the sanctity of Shabbat, demands that we refrain in every possible way from turning on electrical appliances on Shabbat. Even though there's been a lot of discussion about, yeah, exactly what malacha is involved, he says, I've dealt with it. Nobody thinks that in practice you can use electricity. In terms of everybody, it's clear to everybody that you can't use electricity. The question is, why not? And he says, interestingly, it's as if there's been a heavenly voice which has gone out and proclaimed, Hizaru b'kedushat ha-shabbat, that protect the kedusha, protect the sanctity of Shabbat. And if we stop and think about it for a moment, I think there's an enormous amount of truth in it. In terms of there are electrical appliances where it's very difficult to really say clearly what the prohibition is in terms of the malacha. An incandescent light bulb which doesn't exist any longer, that's quite clear. But lots of other things that, you know, if we didn't accept the notion that there's either a problem of boner, or there's a problem of molid, or there's a problem of makeb and patish, or whatever it is. Think about it. Everybody would be able to turn on their radio, or their television, or their computer on Shabbat. Where would the kedusha of Shabbat go? It's true that some people said, you know, during Zoom, you know, that's exactly what that's what we need. But it would have changed Shabbat into being a Yom Chol. And certainly in normative circumstances. Think, for example, about texting on your smartphone. It's very, very unclear what the prohibition is of texting, especially if the phone is on already. If the phone's on already, you're not creating anything lasting. There's no issue of kotev. There's no issue of mavir. You're not making any circuits, etc., etc. But imagine if we spent the whole of Shabbat texting. You know, it's bad enough in shul, you know, on weekdays with people texting, you know, during Chazarat HaShatz. Can you imagine, you know, on Shabbat there'd be, a Twitter feed during the drosha. You know, the rabbi saying this, the rabbi saying that. Kedushat Shabbat would be totally lost. And sometimes you've got to look at the wider picture to appreciate that, yes, whilst in certain instances, you know, this could make Shabbat easier, it could enhance Shabbat, but the reality is that, it would destroy Shabbat. You know, if a person can be on their phone, a person can turn on the lights in their house, etc., etc., then where has Kedushat Shabbat gone? And even if you argue that, okay, having lights on, that enhances Kedushat Shabbat, there are certain things that we all know, essentially, for Jewish society, you know, do not enhance the Kedusha of Shabbat. It might be that for certain individuals, there's an enhancement. I'm not debating that, you know, for an individual who's at home by themselves, and can't get out for whatever reason, that, you know, texting might, you know, make Shabbat more enjoyable for them. But for Am Yisrael as a klal, you know, it would be a disaster. And I think this tshuva was written before everybody was texting, you know, sending 500 texts a day. But it was, a little bit prophetic in what he says. And he makes a number of similar observations as well. And his bottom line is that you know, it's definitely going to be prohibited. So that's in terms of actively using electricity. However, the smart world in which we live has made things a little bit more complex. Already, you know, 20 years ago, perhaps more, you know, the question was addressed about motion sensors that turn on lights, etc., as you walk down the road. In actual fact, when I about 13 years ago, when I had my interview with the board of management for Alexion, they were very insistent that the most important thing they wanted to interview, they wanted me to give a shit. That was the most important important thing. They wanted me to give a shir on the contemporary halakhic issue. They would let me know what the topic was. So the topic was nothing to do with motion sensors on Shabbat. So I made the observation at the beginning of the shir that it was a contemporary title, but it wasn't really a contemporary shir. Meaning, really, it was a shir on the topic of psikresha and grammar and melacha she'ina tzricha legufa and davar she'in mitkavein, etc. All these are halachic topics, which really relating to the question of what if you do something unintentionally, but it's inevitable, you do it in a non-normal way, etc., etc. That's the question. You're walking down the street. Again, I remember when I gave that share, you know, you walk down the street on a Friday night, and, yeah, you know, I knew where I lived that, you know, past a certain house, the lights came on if I walked past it. So, you know, I used to walk cross over to the other side of the road and to not walk past that house. Nowadays, you know, 12, 13 years on, that's impossible. You know, you walk home, you cross over to the other side of the road and a light will come on. Nobody suggested that you can't walk home from shul on a Friday night. It's one of those interesting things. In the same way that it is kind of obvious to the poskim that electricity must be prohibited, we've just got to work out why. It's interesting, this is also obvious to the poskim that you must be allowed to walk along the street on Shabbat. We've just got to work out why. And now it's not just lights coming on, it's, you know, CCTV, you can't walk down the street without, you know, being seen by 100 doorbells or whatever it is. Everything is recorded. Nobody's making the suggestion that you can't walk down the street. And the issue is, again, without going into the details, but Rav Vosner's got a tshuva on the subject. The late Dayan Padva of the Union of Kadassia here in London had a very important tshuva on the subject in Cheshev HaEfod. We're looking at issues which are davar she'im mitkavein. When you walk down the street, you've got no intention of turning on anybody's light. In some instances, it's not a psik resha, meaning when I walk along this part of the road, maybe the light will come on, maybe the light won't come on, etc., etc. We've got considerations of it generally being something which is prohibited only midrabanan. We've got issues of it being done just derech hilucho. The person is totally on their way to do something totally different, and this is a result of it. It's not like, you know, the classic you know, question is, you know, of davar she'im mitkavein, etc., is, you know, you're digging a hole because you want the soil, but you don't particularly want the hole. I don't care if there's a hole there or not a hole there. I just want the soil to do something to put over by my tomato plants or whatever. Right? Whereas, okay, there, but I'm digging the hole. I know I'm digging the hole, just I'm not really interested in the hole. Here, I don't even know I'm turning on a light. I'm just walking down the street. So for a whole confluence of reasons, that's permissible. One of the big considerations there is that I don't want the light to come on. I don't care if the light comes on or doesn't come on, which makes it a little bit more complex if it's your own light. If it's your own light in your front garden, That you have to turn off for Shabbat, because you want it to come on when a person walks up the path. So when you walk up the path on Friday night, and it's going to come on, there you want it to come on so that you can see. It's not only to scare away intruders; it's also so that people coming up your path can see and not trip. The question comes up: what if you're suddenly in shul and you remember that you haven't turned it off for this Friday night? Can you go back home? Okay, you need to ask the rabbi that shaila in shul. Break in through the back door or something like that. Well, whatever. That's going to be relevant, of course, in the smart home. Now, when you go into your smart home and as you open the door, you know, lights come on or lights go off, etc. That's certainly going to be relevant. The general consensus of opinion is that when you do something on Shabbat, which is going to have an inevitable result, and it's going to, it's something that you want to happen, if it's a prohibited result, then it's going to be a prohibited action. So, you know, classically, if when you open your front door, the hallway light will come on. So that is something that you want. You want the hallway light to come on. And therefore, and it's inevitable that when you open the door, this is coming on. So many poskim, or I say most poskim, take the view that's simply another way of turning turning on the lights. There are one or two poskim, amongst them Rav Nachum Rabinovich, the was the Rosh Hashiva of Male Adumim, once upon a time was the principal of Jews College here in London, who was of the opinion that, no, here you're all you're doing is opening a door. The fact that the light comes on as a result, that's not what you're doing. You're not turning on the light. You're opening the door, and you're not directly turning on the light. You're not flicking flicking the switch. You're going through the door. If he happens to turn on the light, then he was of the opinion, essentially, that's going to be permitted. But the overwhelming halachic view is not in accordance with that. The question will come up, though, more about things that, let's say your house is programmed. This is certainly the way things are moving, that everything you do in your house is recorded, so that it works out, the system works out some sort of pattern, etc., etc. It knows when more power's needed, less power's needed, whatever it might be. Or it just, for whatever reason, you know, every time you walk around it, it logs the fact that you've gone into a room, even if nothing's nothing's going to happen as a result. And that's a slightly different question, because in that instance, the what's being recorded is insignificant. You can't see what's happening, and it's not something that you particularly want to benefit from. And there's much more grounds for leniency. Question came up, it's come up many times, you know, you've got, for example, many people out, you know, with a burglar alarm, where you've got a little monitor light that comes on if you walk past it. I don't think most people take the blindest bit of notice of those little monitor lights, especially if your alarm is not on over Shabbat. So, in fact, the light comes on when you walk past the monitor. It doesn't come on when you pull. It doesn't bother you in the slightest bit. It's just an LED light. There's no malacha involved. Most times you won't notice it. Even if you do notice it, you don't care about it. So, you know, that sort of thing, you know, is generally not, shouldn't be a problem on Shabbat. If you've got a fridge that, you know, classic example with a fridge is that, you know, every time you open it, it'll register something, so it'll know when to self-defrost. Now, that's not something you really care about. You know, whether it self-defrosts, you know, at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, or 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, depending on how many times you opened it over the course of the past 3 months on Shabbat, It doesn't make any difference to you. You don't want it. It's supposed to defrost this Sunday afternoon. You don't want it to wait till after Pesach till it automatically defrosts. But marginal differences aren't going to be relevant. The question's come up on a number of occasions. People have asked me about watches, Fitbit watches, which records where you've gone and how many paces you've taken, etc., etc. So somebody wanted to suggest to me that again, it's that you can't see what's happening inside the microchips. It's not COTAVE. It's invisible stuff being recorded. So what should the problem be? So my answer to that was the question was, you clearly want it to happen. Something electronic which is happening, which you want to happen. If you didn't want it to happen, you wouldn't wear the Fitbit on Shabbat. The fact that you're wearing it is a proof that you want it to happen. As opposed to certain smart things, around the house, which are different, and that doesn't really matter because you're looking at something, across a very long period of time, and it's not really going to have today's information recorded is not going to be important to you. To have your house programmed that certain things will happen when you go in and out of rooms with noticeable effects, that is going to be a problem. I think the key thing with houses is going to be whether there's a noticeable effect. So if you've got a room which, when you go in, something will turn on, and when you go out, something will turn off, that's a noticeable effect. I was somewhere recently, a new building of a Torah institution which had been built. Somebody was showing me around it on Shabbat over the course of my sabbatical. They took me into one of the rooms, and as we went into the room, the lights came on, and I said, "Ah, they haven't started using this building yet." I said, "Right, this is something you're going to have to." They were very proud of the whole thing. I said, "This is something you're going to have to look into now, because that you obviously want as a person goes through the door. Yeah, it's made so the lights will come on and people can see in the room. That's a problem. If it's just that there's some non-noticeable reading on a chip and something is fed into a computer that over the long term will make a slight difference to the way something functions, I don't think one really has to worry about that on Shabbat. But certainly it's an evolving situation, and I think that's going to be interesting going forward. I see I've got a couple of questions here in the chat, which I can't. Can you order an Uber on Shabbos to get home from the hospital? Okay, that's addressing more questions just than the malacha. Sorry, than the electricity issue. It's because there's the traveling. Let's work on the assumption that it's all right for you to travel home from the hospital on Shabbat. It's a question that often comes up. What's the best way to do that? So the best way would be for I don't think the best way would be to ask one of the nursing staff if they can do it on your phone. If they can't, then you could do it on your own phone as well, I think. Again, it's a very low level malacha for tzorech of a chole. We're working again, talking about a chole who needs to be taken home from the hospital. We're not talking about somebody who's just gone for a checkup or to have a splinter removed or something like that. So I want to be careful. This is being recorded, so I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. But in a case where we would allow somebody to get home from the hospital, if there isn't a better way, then this would be a good way of doing it. Also, it obviates the need to have to, to pay anything, to handle money. So, you do solve a problem there. So yeah, certainly would be grounds there to be lenient. Okay, Adkan for this evening. Wonderful to be back sharing Torah with you. Next week, I'm trying to, this series of four shiurim, to move through the four chalakim of Shulchan Aruch. So this was Orach Chaim this week. Next week is Yoredeya. Common Sheilot in Hilchot Mezuzah. Thank you all for joining us.